Peter in chapter number 1. 2 Peter in chapter number 1. And Brother Garrett is passing out the notes there for this evening. and so we can take those and you take advantage of those. We're again looking at the recipe of the Christian life, and right here out of 2 Peter. And let me get over there, and we'll get going. Amen. 2 Peter chapter number 1, and of course we're adding. We've been looking at the need of knowing Christ and the importance of growing in a knowledge of Him. And you see right there in your introduction, this recipe, it's been coming together. We have faith. That's where everything with Christ starts, is at faith. If I don't have faith in Christ, I have nothing. And so when we talk about having a relationship with God, we're talking about salvation. We're talking about having placed our faith and trust in Him. And that's the basis or the foundation of everything that we have. And that's where it starts, and it grows from there. And He said to add virtue. We need to add to our faith virtue. Virtue is voluntary obedience to the truth. It's moral goodness that we should have. After you decide to be obedient to the Word of God, you need to add knowledge. That means that we add knowledge from the Word of God, not from this world. This world has a lot of knowledge. In this world, we even try to add its knowledge to the Bible. But we look into the Word of God, and we learn from the Word of God, and we grow from the Word of God. I'd encourage everybody, if you say, I'm young in the faith, I'm learning, and even if you're old in the faith, I'd say this is a good practice. Read Proverbs every day. Read Proverbs every day. Just read the day of that proverb and learn wisdom. I'm talking about on top of your other Bible reading. Read Proverbs and grow in knowledge. And then when we have knowledge, we have the right kind of knowledge. We have a virtue. We have a heart to do right. We have knowledge, so we know what to do is right. And then we add temperance. We have self-control. And that means that I'm not just out as a lone ranger out here. No. I have control. I'm under control of the Holy Spirit of God. And I follow the knowledge that I have, and as I follow the knowledge that I have, I'm going to have to learn to be patient. Patience. That's what we're talking about tonight is patience. Cheerful endurance. And many times I believe God's people want to do right, but they don't want to put the work in that's required. And we wouldn't stop and go, hey, preacher, I want to mess up my life. I want to get out of the Lord's will. I want to be out of control. Sometimes it's going to require that we have patience. And so look in the Word of God again. Let's be reminded. This is the order that Peter gave us these things. He said, beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue, knowledge, to knowledge, temperance, to temperance, patience, and to patience, godliness, to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, charity. Why? For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, why is it important that we would be fruitful in that? Why would it be important that we'd be abounding in a knowledge of who Jesus Christ is? Because of verse number 2, remember, if we have a knowledge of Jesus Christ, we have grace and peace multiplied unto us through a knowledge of of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Why would it be important to have a knowledge of Jesus Christ? Verse number 3, he says, according to his divine power hath given us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him that called us to glory and virtue. It's an important thing to have a knowledge of Jesus Christ, and to be growing in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. And someone says, well, I don't have a real desire to open the Word of God. I don't have a desire to pray. I'm not really seeking after God. I'm not really trying to grow in my relationship with Him. I'm content with it where it is. Look at verse number 9. He that lacketh these things is blind, cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sin. You say, how can somebody get to a place where they walk away from serving the Lord? I mean, when you're walking with the Lord and you're right with the Lord, it's hard for you to even imagine that somebody would get themselves out of church. It's hard to imagine. How would somebody get themselves to a place to where they're not reading the Word of God, where they're not hungry for the Word of God, where they're not desirous to pray? And it all goes back to this one thing. It's not that we say, well, they're lost and they don't know Christ and they're probably, they weren't saved to begin with. That's none of our business. I don't know who's saved and who's not to begin with anyway. All I know is the fruit of your testimony. That's all I can know. The only person I can be confident about who's saved and who's lost is me. And the only person you know about is you. And so it's not me that I can sit here and make all the judgment calls about it. But understand with me, the Bible does tell us that people can get to a point to where they're so much, so far not walking after the Lord, not following after Christ, not desirous to know Him, that they can forget that they were purged. Not that they weren't purged to begin with, but they forget that that did happen. And so we have to remember that in verse number 10. And I know this is a lot of review, but I want to keep this in front of us. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, giving diligence, make your calling and election sure. For if ye do these things, those things that we're looking at now, ye shall never fall. Ye shall never fall. So we're adding to our faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge temperance, to temperance. Tonight we're looking at patience. And so we look at the definition of patience. All right, the definition of patience. Webster gives us a biblical look at patience when it defines it. This is Webster's 1828 dictionary. I didn't put that in the notes. But it defines patience as this: the act or quality of waiting long for justice or expected good without discontent. You hear that? Without discontent. We get to a place sometimes where we just think we deserve. God owes us. God should take care of me because I've, again, like we talked about last night, Sunday night, I checked all the boxes of what a good Christian should do. And because I checked all the boxes of what a good Christian should do, then God is now obligated to take care of me and check my boxes of what I want. And that's not how this life with God works. That's not how our relationship with God works. God is promised and said that He will supply all of our need according to His riches and glory. And we sometimes think that we don't have any wants. Everything we want is a need. Amen. That's true. I mean, if I want it, that means I need it. And that's just a falsehood that we tell ourselves. It's amazing what things you can get by with when you don't have them. And we understand that when we're looking at this, it's a matter of getting to a place where whatsoever state I am in, Paul said, therewith to be content. And we have to get to that place, and that's going to take patience upon our part. It's been said that patience is bearing all trials and difficulties with an even mind, enduring in all, and persevering through all. Patience, my friend, doesn't quit when times get tough. Patience doesn't get doesn't look at a compromise or an easy way out, saying, "Man, I'm uncomfortable where I am. I where God's placed me. I wish I could change the circumstances that I'm in." So we're gonna take the first out that we see, and that's not living with patience in our life. Patience says, "You know what? I know God's in control. I know God's got a bigger plan than I can even see right now, and I'm going to trust God in His plan. I'm just going to wait." And I want you to realize that when you start making decisions without knowing what is going on, you are 100% of the time going to make wrong decisions. We make decisions by faith. That's what our decisions should be made by. That by faith, I'm stepping out to trust God. And when you say, "Well, I don't know where God's at. I don't know what God's doing. It seems like I've been waiting here a while." Well, maybe God's just asking you to practice patience. My dad always encouraged us that it was never a time to move on to something new unless you had a new order. I mean, we practiced that when we were growing up on the farm. Listen, if I gave you a job to do, do it till it's done, or do it till I come out and I tell you something new to do. Come on, Dad practiced that with as boys. I tell you what, it makes pretty good sense for our Christian lives as well. That we can get half a job done and we get dissatisfied with it, or we get discontent, and we're ready to move on to another job. We don't like the job we're doing, and we'd rather have something else to do. Just because I'm discontent with my job, just because it might be hard work, just because it might not be, I mean, the funnest work anybody's ever done in their life, you know? We've talked about some of the fun jobs on the farm before, amen? Shoveling manure and stuff like that. I mean, nobody likes to do that. But on the farm, there are jobs that need done. And sometimes in the Christian life, there are some of those shoveling manure jobs. There just are. And some of them are work. And some of them take time. And some of them are just going to require that you're going to patiently be laboring at that which you've been given to do. And you're going to trust God. And so we're looking and talking about patience. It has to be part of our life. E, patience doesn't pour out, doesn't pout and complain about how hard life is. Say, well, they're doing their job, but I mean, they complain all the time. Then they're not doing their job with patience. They're not. Why do I have to bear this load? And when do I get the breaks? God, when am I going to get a fair shake in this life? God is always good. God's always been fair to you. God's always been better than you deserve, my friend. And so patience doesn't pout or complain. Patience, look at F, patience cheerfully passes right through the trials and the troubles of life. If you look over at Matthew in chapter number 5, it says in verse number 45, it says, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven, for he maketh the sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and the unjust. Patience passes right through. The child of God, the Christian who says, you know, I'm gonna just be patient. Things aren't where I want them to be right now. Things aren't as desirable as I'd hope them to be right now. But I'm going to patiently wait on the Lord. In good times and bad times, amen, married folks, richer or poorer, we live in a society that, man, things get tough and we split. And our marriages and our relationships are in our heart and our mind temporary to begin with. And in the mind and the heart of God, they weren't temporary at all ever. And so we're going to have to make it through some tough times. And if you've been married for any length of time at all, you understand that there are times of dispute between two individuals that love one another to death. And there are times when my wife just doesn't see things from the right perspective, namely mine, you know? Come on, that's a joke, all right? But that's how it is in every relationship. That's just part of how life is. And so we have to remember that we have to stay faithful. Patience is required in the Christian life. We could say this. It's required in a steward that a man be found. That's going to take patience. It's going to take patience. Every Christian needs patience, look at the note, to help them stick to what God wills for their life. Sadly, many people, and I want us to draw our attention to this italicized part. Many people are too flighty to ever learn patience. Why? Because people, because this attitude of flightiness, this attitude that I'm not going to be patient, this attitude that if it's tough, it's hard, I'm moving on. That is not a Christ-like attitude. And if that's our practice as a Christian, then my friend, we're not practicing the art of Christianity very well. Because if we're going to be Christian, we're going to be Christ-like. And that means that we're going to endure hardness as a good soldier. That means that there are going to be troubles and there are going to be trials. Look at the life of Christ. There was murmurings and they were mocking him and they spat upon him and they crucified him. And what did he do? He stayed faithful. I'm telling you, the crucifixion of our Lord and Savior wouldn't have been a comfortable place to be. It wouldn't have been like, hey, let's just hang out. Let's just wait. No, no, no. It was an agonizing, gruesome death. And God was patient. And so let's not say that, listen, I don't have patience and I just move on every time a little trouble and every time a little trial hits. I'm just on to the next thing. That is not a Christian spirit nor attitude towards this life nor the troubles that we face in this life. Number two, the dilemma of patience. The dilemma of patience. You are going to have trouble in this life. Job 14:1. I put it there in your notes. Man that is born of woman is of few days and full of trouble. Man that's born to woman is of few days and full of trouble. You're going to have trouble in life. Every one of us will. You say, I don't like trouble. I don't think God should have allowed me to have trouble. I'm sorry, but you need to understand that before you look at your trouble and you blame God about it, you understand that God put himself in a little bit of what we would call trouble so that he might be able to save you from the trouble of this earth. God's not looking down at any one of us saying, and saying, listen, you're going to go through trouble and I have no idea what you're going through. No, he was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin, my friend. We're going to go through trouble if we were born in this life. If you fall into the category of being born of a woman, amen? We all do. You are going to have trouble in this life. Jesus had trouble as he walked through life. He did. Things he didn't deserve happened to him. Things outside of, and I say this, don't throw stones at me, in the sense of his humanity, things outside of his control. He was yielded to the will of the Father. He was the God-man. Don't twist that to think I'm saying something I'm not. He was all God, but at the same time, he was all man. And if he was tempted like as we are, that means that that if it's like me, when I'm tempted, I have a choice to make. I do. And the decision I make is going to show forth whether in my heart that I love God, or it's going to show forth that I'm going to follow the lust of my flesh. And so in his humanity, if he was tempted like we are, understand with me, he dealt with things that were outside of his control, that he had to show forth what was on the inside. And what was on the inside of our Lord and Savior was that he did always those things that pleased the Father. Your life and my life can be the same way. Come on. We can do the same thing if we choose to allow the love of God to be shed abroad in our hearts, if we choose to allow the love of God to control our life. I can choose in the trials of life, in the troubles of life, to show forth that I love him. Or I can show forth that I have a desire to please my own flesh. It's what's on the inside that's going to come out. And what came out of our Lord and Savior when he was tried and when he was tempted like as we are is that he loved his heavenly Father and did always those things that please him. He faced troubles just like any man, and yet he was the God-man. Isaiah 53 and verse number 3 says this, he is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him, and he was despised, and we esteemed him not. And you can go read through the Gospels, and you'll read how he was mocked, you know, he was people didn't want to hear what he had to say, he was scorned, he was laughed at, he was ridiculed. He was used by people who just wanted to see a magic trick or get their own needs met. He was used by them. He was abandoned by multitudes, walked away from him. Eventually, all of the disciples walked away from him. They hit him. They beat him. They spat upon him. Why? To give you and I an example. Christ didn't ask for these things. He surely didn't deserve these things, but they were placed upon him and he bore those things. Well, how? Because he understood that God had a plan and God had a purpose. And there was going to be one day when even his heavenly Father was going to turn his face away from him. And yet God bore it. Our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, bore it with patience as he went through the life, this life. Jesus is our example. Hebrews in chapter 12, verse 2, is right there in your notes. Looking unto Jesus, the author, the finisher of our faith. The author and finisher of our faith, who for, and I underlined this, I wanted to emphasize this, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. I mean, he looked at the things that he went through, and it wasn't with disgust, it wasn't with discouragement, it wasn't with moans and groans that he went through all the things that his heavenly Father asked him to go through. No, it was with joy. How do we do in those times? How do we do in those times? I mean, do we say, you know what? I'm just counting all joy. I'm just content. I know God's in control. I know God has this. I know I'm in His hand. I know I'm His child. I know He's with me. I know His Spirit dwells in me, and I'm just willing to patiently wait for God to bring this thing to pass. And I know He's going to make all things together for good because I love Him. I know I'm called according to His purpose. It'd be wonderful if we all acted like that 100% of the time. But the honest truth is, sometimes we get impatient and we wonder, why in the world is God not coming? I mean, Lord, I think I've suffered enough. I think I've waited long enough. I think I've gone far enough with this. I think it's time for you to snap your fingers and get this thing turned around for me. But Christ was our example of patience. Christ modeled patience for us, and now He wants us to learn to be patient. He desires for that. In fact, it's important that we would learn to be patient, because sometimes we get knowledge and we make some right decisions. We're temperate, and then we made some right decisions, and we know we made the right decisions, and things just don't go right according to our plan. Come on, this is the list. We started with faith. We're saved. We added virtue. We want to do what's right. We want to do according to the Word of God, and we grow in our knowledge of what God wants, and then we get temperate. We go, you know what? I'm going to set up some guidelines so I can make sure that I do what God's told me to do, and I'm going to practice what God's told me to do, and we get in the middle of what God's told us to do, and things don't go so well. And it's going to be taking patience, because God's commands and God's will and God's desire didn't just automatically change because of circumstances. Circumstances aren't what we judge the will of God off of. The way the wind's blowing is not how we determine which direction we're going. It's not how we do it. We sometimes are just going to have to be patient in this life. And then thirdly this evening, the discipline of patience. Turn, if you would, over to the book of James, just a short way from where we are in 2 Peter, but turn to the book of James and look at verse number 1 through 4. The discipline of patience. Look at James 1:1. It says, James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. My brethren, count it all what? Joy. Count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. Yeah! Woohoo! What a wonderful life. I love temptations. No. But count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. Why? Verse number 3, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work. Why? Keep reading. That ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Now come on. Honestly. Isn't that where each and every one of us would desire to be? Perfect, entire, wanting nothing. I mean, life's complete. Well, that's a great place to go. I mean, I think probably everyone in the room, you can get to a point to where you can say, you know, I've experienced that sometimes in my life where I feel like, man, could it get any better than this? You know? But the honest truth is that life just doesn't stay right there. But that is the goal of our Heavenly Father in the trials of this life, that we can get to right to that spot where we're perfect and entire and wanting nothing. I mean, come on. If you've ever had that feeling where, like, man, maybe the kids really pleased you, maybe just the circumstances of life. I mean, you got the new car you were wanting, you got the new house, and you're just like, ah, you got the whatever it is that you were thinking, man, I had a goal that I was reaching for. Maybe we got out of debt. Maybe we went on that trip, and maybe we had an experience. You just stop and go, wow. Man, this is just as good as it could get this side of heaven. Been there? Well, that's exactly where God wants us to be. Perfect, entire, wanting nothing. Well, what's it going to take to get there? Trials of your faith. working patience. It's going to take you letting patience have a perfect work in you. Look at our notes real quick. God is going to use trying to teach us patience. God will allow our faith to be tried. The successes of this trying, the success of this trying is not up to God. You say, well, if I'm not a success, it's not up to God. No, no, no. God's given us all things. He's given us all things. All things, going back to our text in 1 Peter, that pertain to life and godliness. The success is not bearing upon whether God is a good God or God is a bad God. That's not what we're looking at. The success is bearing upon you. It says the success of this trying is not up to God, but is a revelation of the heart. We already talked about that a little bit, but look in verse number 12 of James 1. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation. For when he is tried, he shall receive a crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that what?
Love him.
You endure temptation. It's only a revelation that you, just like Christ, love your heavenly Father, God. It's a revelation of that. Verse 13. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust and enticed. I want you to understand this concept that James is talking to. I mean, it's applicable all through the Word of God. And it's so applicable to our life. And we need to grab a hold of this, that the trials and the temptations that we face in this life are only going to reveal what's already inside. The love of the Father or the lust of the flesh. It's only going to be a revelation of that. And when you lose your mind and you get upset and you have a pity party and you complain and you grumble and you moan, understand, it's not because God is not a good God. It's that your faith has been tried and you have been found out to have a great lust for your flesh and a desire to please your flesh, and you're not comfortable in your flesh. It has no bearing on whether God is good in the least. It's only showing who you really are and what you're really about. And your life is not about your Heavenly Father and your love for God. Your life's about you and about pleasing you, not about pleasing Him. B, God wants us to learn patience. God doesn't want to hear you grumbling and complaining, although he'll listen to it. He wants you to get to a place of joy in your faith. Everyone has an area they struggle with practicing faith towards God. Everybody, it might be a vice that you have in your life. It might be your finances that you struggle. You say, if I gave God, if I just believed what the Bible says, and I believe that God, you know, that 10% of everything that I get is God's. No, no, 100% of it's God's. God's just letting you have 90 of it. He wants 10 back. And people, I just don't see how that could happen. I'm telling you, I'm not trying to be up here and go, oh, prosperity. But man, I tell you what, I've been practicing it for a while. And man, I keep telling people all the time, God's never seen the hungry forsaken, the righteous forsaken, nor hungry begging bread. But I do know some people that they say, well, I'm going to hold on to what I have and I'll give God what I want to give God. And they seem to struggle. I've just seen it over and over again. And I'll tell you what, if we'll get into God's plan and God's program, and it could be a different, maybe you struggle with your emotions and you're up and down and you're a roller coaster. Maybe you struggle with just faithfulness. Maybe you struggle with a vice of the flesh, or even if we can go in James, and he talks in chapter 3 about the controlling of one's mouth. Whatever you might struggle in, most people though in their lives, instead of by faith passing tests and growing in the Lord and adding to their faith and moving past the area of patience and into godliness, that's what's next. To where why? Because when we're patient, we've already talked about it, we're acting like Christ and we're being a little Christ. We're being a Christian. And that would be godly, because Christ is God. But when we fail test after test after test, It's not because God's making our life too hard. It's not because God's being unreasonable. It's not because God just had, doesn't God know I've been through enough? No, God knows exactly what you, where you are, and He knows exactly what you're going through. He's not naive to the circumstances of your life, but I have to stop and wonder sometimes as a Heavenly Father, does He sit up in heaven and go, are they going to learn it yet? I mean, how many times are we going to go through this before they learn? We'll go through it again and again. I mean, have you ever been, I tell people sometimes I feel like I'm a 2x4 Christian. And when God hits me over the head with a 2x4, then I know exactly what God wants. But sometimes it just seems like it's a 2x4 God has to hit you with. Before we'll move and before we'll respond properly and just practice faith towards Him. Don't continue to just practice insanity, reliving the same test of your faith over and over and over again, expecting that God's just going to give up on me. No, He's not. He loves you too much. It's kind of like mom. You're going to eat your vegetables, whether you like it or not. When you're 18 and out of the house and making your own seat, then you can choose. But when you're in this house, you're eating your vegetables because it's good for you. Mom knows what's best. Our God, listen to me, knows what's best. See, look at this. God wants you to learn patience for your own good. Because God knows what's good for you. God knows exactly what you need. Say, I don't think I need any trial. I don't think I need any trouble. I don't think I need, I think I've got it down. I think I know everything. And honestly, there probably lies the problem. You know everything. You think you got it all down. You think you got it all figured out. And God says, no, we're going to have to go through this trial in order to get to where we want to be. And like we say all the time, if God could pick us up in the middle of our trial, in the middle of that testing of our faith and take us to the end, and we could look back and you go, God, you're going to accomplish that because of this? We'd always go back and say, God, put me right back in it because I want what you want. I want to be perfect and entire. Wanting nothing. I'd love to get there. And God says, but child, you're going to have to go through this testing to get there. You're going to go through this trial to get there. Patience is at work. Look at verse 4 again. But let patience have her perfect work. God wants to use trials to grow us closer to Him. And sadly, men struggle with trials because they aren't trying to grow closer to God. They're just trying to get through life. And we're missing the bigger picture that God is working when I'm going through a trial. No, we're almost done. Say we got a whole nother page, but we really are almost done. Patience goes beyond temperance. Temperance says I'm not going to. Patience says I'm going to continue not to. No. Temperance says, okay, you're going to put that virtue into practice. You're going to put that knowledge into practice and you're going to do this. And I'm going to continue doing it even in the midst of a trial. It'll take time to develop patience the way God would want us to have it. And that would be that we cheerfully endure the trials of this life. Some people say, oh, okay, well, I'll wait, but that doesn't mean I'm going to like it. I'm not going to be, I'll go through anything and I'll go through any trial, but that doesn't mean I'm going to be happy about it. Well, listen, that's not what God's going through. I mean, that's like the kid, hey, you're going to take out the trash. All the way to the trash can and slam the door on their way out. And a good mom and dad just sits there and go, oh man, we're so thankful that our child was obedient. No. We're going to go to that child. I mean, a good mother or father is going to go to that child and go, wait, what was the stomping about? Why in the world would you ever have a right to slam the door? We're going to adjust our spirit. I want you to understand, just because you got done and I made it through that trial, didn't mean that you were patient doing it. If you didn't have a right spirit in doing it, I mean, as someone who's patient just goes, God, I know you're good all the time. God, I know you're faithful all the time. God, I know you. God, I know at the end of this trial, God, you have a perfect work to accomplish. Have you ever been at a fast food line and the person behind you just lays on the horn? I mean, been in a line where there's, you say, why? You say, because I went to Taco Bell Sunday night after church. And so like there's like, I waited in line, ordered my food, waited in line, got up to the window, and I'm waiting on them to pass food out the window. And the guy behind me just keeps laying on his horn. And I'm like, you know, I'm turning around. I'm like, and he's like, let's move. And I don't think that's going to get the people in there. And I was very clear to let the people inside know that's the guy two cars back. That is not me honking the horn. Please don't spit on my tacos, you know. But we lay on the horn like our discontentment and our dissatisfaction with our present condition is going to speed God up. It's not going to speed God up at all, because God wants you to learn patience. Conclusion, look at this, Isaiah 40 and verse 28. It's right there in your notes, and it says, Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary. There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increaseth strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Starting the Christian life, man, it just seemed so easy, didn't it? It was a joyful time. It was wonderful. I got saved. I got a home in heaven. I got the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. I mean, whoa, just awesome time. And then we hit trials, and then we hit troubles, and then we hit difficulties, and we have trying of our faith that takes place. And we're going to have to choose whether or not we're going to do it with patience, or we're going to just be upset, and we're going to be at our wits' end, and we're going to be discontent all the way through. But what Christ would rather have us, what God would rather have us do, in verse number 28, he reminds us that we grow weary. And in times when we grow weary, we must wait on him. And you say, so we just have to just sit there and wait. No, no, no. That word wait means to hang upon. I mean, you think of the clothesline. I know most people, some of you younger people, you have no idea what a clothesline is. But it used to be, before dryers, okay, you would take your clothes and you put them on a line. And you take these little wooden clips. Anybody with me? You have no idea what I'm talking about? You take these wooden clips. Yeah, a couple of the teenagers have no idea. And you'd hang them on a line. You would weight them upon the line. And they would hang there. And that's what waiting is on the Lord for us. We're going to attach ourselves to Him. And we're going to hold on to Him. Because we know this. God is faithful. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Who will not suffer us to be tempted above that which we are able, but will with the temptation make a way of escape that we may be able to bear it. And therefore, I'm going to patiently wait on Him. And when we wait on Him, He renews our strength. We mount up with wings as eagles. We shall run and not be weary. We shall walk and not faint. Psalm chapter number 1. Come on. Blessed is the man walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners. Listen, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like what? A tree planted by the rivers of water. And our Sunday school class is laughing because I always mess up Psalm 1 and misquote it. I got it right that time. A tree planted by the rivers of water. Jeremiah 17, he says, listen, if we trust in God, listen, we shall be like a tree by the rivers of water. We'll not see when drought cometh. I'm telling you, there's blessing in the life of a child of God who's willing to endure temptations, who's willing to endure trials, who's willing to just patiently wait on God and trust God to be who He is, who His Word declares Him to be in their life. Let's have our heads bowed and our eyes closed.